Opinions may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening, and we'll be with you until 12 o'clock tonight, midnight. And, you know, it's hard to believe 2 weeks from today is Christmas Day. 3 weeks from today is New Year's Day, and 2017, it's like, where did this fall go? And it's wintertime now. If you're here in northeastern Ohio, it's definitely wintertime right now. But let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer, and we'll get into a few things here this evening, and we'll open our phone lines as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight, and help us to point people to Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, speaking of wintertime in northeastern Ohio tonight, had a fun time driving in this evening. One of the joys of living in northeastern Ohio is snow squalls and snow belts, primary snow belts, secondary snow belts, all that sort of fun stuff. We've dodged most of the snow bullet here where the station is, and also where I live and where our church is down in Richfield, Ohio, and down midway. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland. And so we've dodged most of the snow bullet here so far, but today we're making up for it a little bit. I'll tell you what, if you're on the highway in northeastern Ohio right now and you're coming up 77 or going down 77 into Summit County, that road is, I'm trying to think when the last time the snow plow was over it. It was tracks, and the snow was coming down pretty hard. But we're kind of at a state right now where the air temperature is actually above freezing. It was 34 degrees on the car thermometer when we were driving up, and started at 32 at our house, and it got a couple degrees warmer coming up the highway. But it's right at that point where you're getting a little bit of a wintry mix with a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain and stuff like that coming in. And so if you're out on the road right now, you know, be careful that there's some ruts of snow out there. I know coming across the one road to try and get on the highway this evening, if it weren't for the ruts, I don't know that we would have been able to steer too easily. That's northeast Ohio in the wintertime, and that's why all the Buckeyes from move from Ohio down to Florida as a result of that, because of this type of weather. So whether you're in Ohio, or whether you're in Florida or somewhere in between, we're certainly glad to have you with us tonight, and I hope you'll stay with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can join us. Our telephone line is open right now, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here momentarily. Just want to throw something out here before we get to our first call. Thank you for people praying for Ohio and our latest House and Senate session. Just a quick update here. We had some victories, and we had a loss in the House. There were three bills that the pro-life position won on, and I won't go into all of them in detail, but just to let you know, you have to keep praying, and whether you're in Ohio, Florida, or somewhere in between, there's similar bills in your states as well that are being considered. But the Ohio's what they call the MOLST bill, that's the Medical Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment, that failed in the Ohio House, so that has died. And that was not a favorable bill for those of you who are interested in staying alive and not having a doctor or some person unbeknownst to you or your family suddenly deciding that you don't need to be cared for. Well, there's more to it than that, but I don't want to get into all the details. So that was a victory for the pro-life community. The other victory was the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. That is now passed, and that bans abortions effectively after 20 weeks of pregnancy, reducing it from the 24. Reducing it 4 weeks means a lot of unborn children would be saved as a result of this, and is generally accepted that that's when the unborn child begins to feel and respond to pain. And so, praise the Lord for that. There's bills like this have been considered in other states. Having it pass in Ohio will help get it passed in other states that may try similar legislation. So praise the Lord for that. The third one is the what's been called the heartbeat bill. It was actually an amendment to another bill dealing with the reporting of child abuse and neglect, and it was attached sort of toward the end, and it passed. And this is a pro-life victory too. Now, some pro-life groups weren't for it because they didn't think it would pass constitutional muster, but it's there. And my thinking is if it's there, and the governor of Ohio signs the law, and it gets challenged in court, who knows, it may pass. If it doesn't, well, then for the time being, it saves some lives, because that would reduce abortions down to and not beyond, it's about 6 weeks, I think, when the heartbeat begins. And so those are victories. Now, another thing that we did not have a victory on, and that is the Ohio Pastors Protection Act. And a number of people have been praying for that. People outside the state have been praying and watching this closely. It's in reaction to the Supreme Court decision saying that you can't legislate against same-sex marriages. And the fear is amongst the pastors, the clergy, churches in Ohio and elsewhere, that it's only a matter of time before churches and pastors and religious organizations are forced to have to do or celebrate same-sex marriages. And we have reason to believe that that was part of the intent when they pushed for the Supreme Court decision. And this bill died by not being brought to a vote. It was in committee last May, ready to pass out. The committee had the votes, probably would have passed if it made it to the floor and could have went to the governor's desk and become law. But the governor's office and the Speaker of the House's office in Ohio were trying to prevent the bill from coming to a vote. They kept it bottled up into committee a couple weeks ago. Surprisingly, it got out of committee, but they were able to keep it from coming to a vote before the close of the session. So that's one that we'll be praying about, and it'll have to start the battle all over again from square one, basically. So pray for that, and pray for the similar legislation in other states as well. Well, I wanted to mention those things. You can find that if you go to our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. You can find us there, and I believe I have a thing listed there that gives an update on these things that you can link to, and I'll have some other things on there from time to time. And been busy. I haven't been able to get my website Live with Pastor Al updated to reflect some of these things, but it is there. And do pray for those things, and pray for the laws that are in your states, and we'll try and touch on some things here in the future with the program. But as always, you can check us out live with PastorAl.com. You can listen to past programs and some other materials that are there. Like us on Facebook at Live with PastorAl.com as well. Well, our number again, toll-free, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in from the frigid, snowbound wasteland of Euclid, Ohio tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Wow, I'll tell you, this is a huge snowfall. I had 18 inches in my driveway, but praise the Lord, a friend shoveled me out. And it was quite an ordeal. A few of us went to Reformers Unanimous there at Cleveland Baptist Friday night.
Yes, last Friday night, yeah.
Challenging. But we made it safely. And I must add about the heartbeat bill. Gosh, so many of us have been praying that that'll eventually get passed. I think before it passed in the Senate or the House.
It was in the Senate, I think,
both of
first.
Them, but this time it passed in both parts, but they're waiting for Governor Kucinich to sign it, and you know we certainly are praying about that. Now, my question tonight.
Yeah. Oh, let me interrupt just a second there, Nancy, and add one thing with the prayers there. Because Ohio has a line item veto, one thing people need to pray about, be concerned about, is somebody was telling me just recently there is a possibility he could sign the bill but do a line item veto since this was an amendment to the bill. So we still, it's not completely won the battle there yet, but it is encouraging. So pray for that it gets signed and it doesn't get line item vetoed. So, but
okay, but he hasn't signed it yet. He hasn't agreed to it yet, right?
Yeah, no, not that I know.
Somebody said I think on Friday they said they had 10 days to do it and pray and call Governor Kasich, and they gave his number and everything. But
yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you. I've been very interested in that for many, many months. And Janet Folger Porter, she's such a go-getter.
Right.
I had gone to Columbus. Pastor Sanders had a bus a few months ago. You know, we were praying about that then. And that is certainly, that would practically do away with all abortions. That would be fabulous. It was like almost like, of course, it would just be Ohio. But that would almost reverse Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, well, and also what it does, it sets a precedent so that other states can cite Ohio's law and use that as a means of getting it through in their states as well. And that's what a lot of people fail to realize sometimes, is it sets
absolutely.
Precedents for other states.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Janet Folger Porter's made that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And she's such a hard worker and so humble and just truly, you know, is just, loves the unborn and is doing everything she can to prevent so many more being slaughtered. Now, my question tonight was about Proverbs 11:25.
Okay.
Pastor Andy had a really good sermon on, I think it was 8 or 9 different things that you should take care of financially before you consider Christmas gift giving. And this one particular, because some people go all out and they, you know, go into debt and everything. But so this one particular verse, Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And the way I think, if I understand correctly, the way he explained it is, if you are generous, I guess it would apply to money, gifts, or even helping a really poor person. Then a time might come in your life when you might be poor, and I'm stretching this out. I'm not sure, you know, in finances or need help physically or, you know, things that it will be provided to you. But what I'm concerned about, because I know there's another Bible verse somewhere like give and it shall be given unto you. But what I'm concerned about is the motivation and how does one know. Like, say someone is inclined to be generous with the poor, they had enough money to help, and they were inclined in that direction anyhow, but hearing this Bible verse, hearing this truth, that might really push them into actually, you know, doing this. So how do you know if your motivation is correct? Because from my understanding, if your motivation is not correct, God won't bless you, and it's like all for naught. So if you could explain that, thank you.
Oh, sure. And, yeah, in this passage here in Proverbs chapter 11 here and verse 25, and it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. And liberals, they're not talking about liberal versus conservative in the political sense, but
right.
It's like if you were, you know, having some dessert, you might want a liberal portion of something that you like, because it means you want a big portion, not just a skinny little bit,
right.
And a little tiny portion. You want a liberal portion. So that's what's talking about, generous. And that just makes sense that the idea, and what verse came to my mind was from Luke where it says here in Luke chapter 6, let's see, it's down here, verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And the way I always think of that verse when I think that, pressed down and shaken together and running over, I remember my grandmother, my mom's mom, was of the opinion that all of her grandsons needed to know how to cook. And I'm forever grateful to her for that. So when she would be over at our house, you know, she would get us in the kitchen and show us how to cook things. And she was a good cook. And she explained that when you made something, you didn't press the flour down because you'd wind up with too much flour. You know, that was all sifted and fluffy. But she said that when you know, like with brown sugar, you had to pack it together. You had to pack it in the cup, and you had to press it down and shake it and get it pressed down so that there's no air pockets down in there and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it taste good when you cook with it. So I can understand that thing there, pressed down, shaken together. You know, if you take a cup of flour and you sift it out and you put it in a cup, you have a cup of flour. But if you start pressing it down like you did with brown sugar, you'd get a lot more flour in that cup, and whatever you made out of it really be real heavy, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
because you'd have an overabundance
of
flour.
Yeah, too much. Yeah.
But you know, and we know the idea. You press it down and shake it together, you get more and more in. And that's kind of the idea here. If you have the right motivation here, the desire to be generous and to help people out, like in I'm trying to think of 1 Corinthians chapter, what is it, 11, the love chapter, where it talks about charity. And the modern versions change it to love, but I like how the King James retains the word charity there, because charity, when you think of love, is a type of love that gives. It sees the need of somebody and wants to give to meet their need. That's what charity really is. It's a love that gives of itself to meet others' needs. And when we look at that, if that's what we're trying to do, even another verse that came to my mind is Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good." And then it says this, "that he may have to give to him that needeth." And so this idea that with the right motivation, the right attitude, it's an attitude of love. It's an attitude where you desire to help somebody. You see the need of other people, and you want to help meet that need. And there's an action, you know, where love is put into action there, to where you're giving to the needs to help other people, and that you know, motivated by love, you can begin to see where the attitude is, don't you? That.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, if you're giving because you think, well, let's see, as a man gives, he's going to receive. If I give generously, I'm going to make a good return on my investment. So, yeah, if I want to make more money, I just need to give more. Well, God will bless you. I had somebody explain it one time. He said, you know, we're supposed to be a warehouse, not a storehouse. And if you're giving out, God is going to be putting it back in so that you can keep giving it out. If you're not giving out of what God's blessed you with, then why does God have to be putting more in if you're just storing it up? You know, if you're giving it out, if you're a conduit, so that you can show the love of the Lord to those around you and help people's needs. And that's where the attitude comes in. So it's not just simply a matter of, if I give more, I'll get more. No, when you give more out of the right heart, a heart that's motivated by love of others rather than love of money, then you know, God's going to bless that. And he's going to reward you for that. He's going to meet your needs. And it shows that idea there, giving, and yet God gives back to you. Like he said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall," and notice it says, "shall men give into your bosom." And that's what you're talking about. Others will give when you have needs as well. And
thank you. You know, I like the way you sort of summarize that. Say, are you giving because you love others, or you're giving because you love the money? That's a good way to sort of bottom line it. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And there's certainly nothing wrong with giving to your investment, you know, because you want to provide for the future. But we're talking about the idea of showing the type of love, the charity that the Bible talks about when you have mm-hmm. such concern for others that you see their need and you want to help them. And it might uh-huh. be money. It might be a bowl of soup. It might be a glass of cold water on a hot day. It might be a mm-hmm. pair of shoes. It might be mowing somebody's yard or shoveling somebody's driveway in the snow.
And then would you say it could include like encouraging somebody?
Yes. Giving your time and your presence sometimes. You know, going into a nursing home, oftentimes just the fact that you're there, people have a visitor. And you're mm-hmm. it might not seem like much to you, but to that person that receives that visit, it can make the difference between a good day and a bad day, a good week
absolutely.
And a bad week.
Pastor Al, I worked in a nursing home for 22 years.
Yeah, so you understand that one, huh?
Oh yeah. I would see some residents would barely ever get a visitor. And other mm-hmm. ones, they'd have a relative coming every day. So I really enjoyed talking to them and encouraging them, not to build myself up, but I just saw what a positive effect it had on them.
Yeah.
When you just give them a little bit of time, and sometimes they just want a sounding board. They just want to reminisce. Or
you give them a shoulder or an ear or a shoulder to cry on sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Nancy, and stay warm there. So I appreciate your call tonight.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay,
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Mm-hmm. God bless.
Bye-bye.
And
Thank you. You
can give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. And we've got Bob calling in tonight. And, Bob, welcome to the program this evening.
All right, thank you, Pastor Al. I have one question for you tonight.
Yes, sir.
And that is... I couldn't find it on the internet, but that we would be given new eyes.
Okay. A little bit, what about the context there? Maybe I can find something here.
Okay. What did it refer to?
Right.
Okay. What did it come out of? That I don't know.
Okay.
But it was a puzzling statement that I could never get an answer to. I was wondering if you ever could build meaning into it.
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is when the Lord talked about people having, you know, basically, or the Bible talks about people having eyes to see, but they don't see. You know, and ears to hear, but they don't hear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, now in Revelation chapter 13, when Jesus gives John a letter to the church at Laodicea, in there he says in Revelation 3, verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And what he was accusing them there of being spiritually blind. And the Bible talks elsewhere about the eyes of those who are unsaved being, you know, blinded by the devil, blinded to spiritual things. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In fact, Laodicea was known for some salve that they sold or they made there, and they sold in various places to help promote healing and using on the eyes and things like that. And so this idea here that they should be able to see, but they couldn't. And let's see, that goes back to there in the Old Testament. God told Ezekiel, he said in Ezekiel 12:2, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of this rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. And that's so the same idea. Those who are spiritually blind because they don't know Christ as their Savior, they can't see spiritual truths. And God wants them to have their vision given to them Jesus illustrated that with the physical healing of people who were blind, you know, giving them their sight. And that was a physical example of how he wanted to make people spiritually sighted. You know, they were spiritually blind, and he wanted them to see spiritual truths. And
That last part you touched on seems more fitting.
Oh, okay. With
that,
the
he gave sight. Yeah, he gave sight or restored sight.
Right, and that's the miracles that Jesus did. I mean, several times he healed some people, and one individual. Remember, he made some mud from the dirt, and he put it on the guy's eyes and told him to go wash. I think it was in the pool of Siloam, and the guy received his sight, and that was one of the signs that he gave to show in answer to some prophecies, actually, that the blind would receive their sight again. And so that's something that Jesus did during his earthly ministry. And, of course, even the Apostle Paul, when he met Christ, he was struck blind. And then when, I believe it was Ananias, came in and laid hands on his eyes, he received his sight again. So we do see some of that in the Bible. So that help
okay.
out?
Okay, I guess that's about all. I may have that statement incorrect.
Okay. Well, if you find something more, give us a call back.
I will.
All right.
I will. And thank you very much for your time.
Well, and thank you for the call and the question, and for hanging on for us as well. I appreciate that. And have a great what's left of the night. God bless. Thank you so much.
And you too.
God bless you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, and we'll be taking your phone calls. So stay tuned, and we'll catch you after the break. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330 859-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening. Also, reminder, just like you said, and you'll hear more about, of course, at the end of the program, but brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the program, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in Northeast Ohio, if you're especially in the east side of Cuyahoga County, you can check out East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And we also mention this because even if you're not in Northeastern Ohio and you're looking to start your own pizza restaurant or maybe add pizza to an existing restaurant and you're looking for a good pizza recipe, why don't you contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started. It's not a franchise. It's his own pizza recipe, and it's his own business. So he can help you get started. And if you want to be successful in pizza, you got to have a great sauce, and you got to have a great crust. And he's got both, and it's his own recipe. So give him a call, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and we are going to jump into the phones here. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. Reminder, check us out on the web at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, or on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. All right, we are going to pick up Mark calling up from Tampa, Florida tonight. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, thanks. How you doing?
I am doing well. Probably a little cooler than what you're doing, but... So.
Yeah, we got a little cool the other night. I think you probably got down around 50.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think, when did we see 50 last? It was, it wasn't that long ago. We had not too bad about a week or so ago, I think. It was 34 when I came into the studio here tonight, so it actually warmed up a little bit today. We're expecting some serious cold weather later on this week, but that's what you go to Florida for, right?
That's exactly it.
To escape that. So, but welcome to the program tonight, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. So, the Bible tells us to go throughout the world and preach the gospel and baptize.
Right.
And I'm not certain the first, but in Mark, maybe it's 16 or 66.
Right.
It says that he who confesses with thy mouth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. And then yeah, Mark 16 in verse 16.
Right. So, but it's kind of a controversial question. I mean,
yeah,
it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, and the way to do it, to understand it, is to, you know, look at the sentence structure and right. The way things are written here. And that's, when I was in seventh grade, I had a teacher, Mrs. Hertwriter, you know, what a name. I couldn't remember, right. You know, I can't forget that name, Mrs. Hertwriter, but she made us diagram sentences all the time. I used to hate it. Right. I don't think she's alive anymore. She was old back then, but, and that was, that was over 40 years ago. But, you know, I learned something about diagramming sentences from her, and it's really been helpful understanding the Bible. And so, if we go back to this and actually let's go back and I always try to put things in context. Mark chapter 16, and I'll read verse 15 and 16, okay? And when you read it, it says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus saying to his disciples, "and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then he says in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And the imperative in verse 15 is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, okay? And nothing is said about baptism in that particular verse. Then in verse 16, you have the statement, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But then there's a comma there, a semicolon. It's not a period. It's a semicolon, which means that the next clause modifies what we just read. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Semicolon, it says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." And that means that if you don't believe, you're going to be damned, meaning you're going to die and be eventually sent into the lake of fire because you've not believed. And that reflects what John chapter 3, verse 18 says, that he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed. And so since that modifies the first statement, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," here's a good way to think about it. If I wanted to come down and visit you in Florida, I could either fly or I could take a bus, right? I mean, right. I could get on the bus and go to Florida. Now, let me just, and I'm going to use the bus as a good example because I don't think they'd let me stand up the entire way on the airplane, but I could probably get away with standing on the bus. Now, let's just change a few words here just to make an analogy, okay? And let's read it this way. "He that gets on the bus and is seated shall go to Florida, but he that getteth not on the bus shall not go to Florida." Do you see the construction there?
Right.
If I get on the bus, I'm going to go to Florida, whether I sit down or not. But if I don't get on the bus, I won't go to Florida. But when you get on the bus, you should be seated. If you're seated, you're going to have a more comfortable trip than if you stand the whole way. And it's probably going to be a safer trip. And plus, you're not going to have the bus driver getting upset with you for standing around the whole time. So, So you see my point there. Oh, go ahead.
Well, now I'm having flashbacks of my ninth grade English teacher in my sentence diagramming days.
Don't you just hate those flashbacks and find out that teacher you couldn't stand was right?
Exactly. I know.
Yeah.
Everybody was right back in the day.
Yeah. And one way sometimes you can understand difficult things is to try and rework it. And now if you look at it that way, "He that getteth on the bus and is seated shall go to Florida, but he that getteth not on the bus shall not go to Florida." And we understand that from that sentence. So now we put that in there. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So if you don't believe, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to be saved. Now, when you get saved, you ought to get baptized as a step of obedience. Just like when you get on the bus, you should be seated as a step of obedience. And let me show you where that kind of follows through in another passage here in Acts chapter, 26. Let me take a look here. Excuse me. Let's see. All right. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving his testimony here to King Agrippa. And he's in Caesarea, he's under house arrest, and he's given his testimony here, excuse me, and in Acts chapter 26, and, now where is it at? I'm looking for the verse here, and I'm in the right chapter, I believe, and let me see here. I'm going to have difficulty trying to find this now, where he talks about being blinded by the Lord here, and I'm missing the verse that I want here. Why am I not finding it? Let me backtrack here a little bit. Sometimes at late at night like this, I lose track of a verse that I know, and I just want to find it. It's where he talks about arise and be baptized, and we'll find that here in just a minute. Let me backtrack and see if I can regain my setting here. It's probably because I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm not supposed to be looking at King Agrippa. Let's go back to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. It was a different one when he was talking to somebody else here, and that was my mistake there. Let's go to Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He's given his testimony here, and Ananias had come after Paul had been blinded, and he had laid hands on him and told him that God had sent him and all of that. And then Ananias says this, starting here in Acts 22, verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And at first blush, this sentence also appears to teach that you have to be baptized to wash away your sins. But again, thanks to Mrs. Hertwriter, my seventh grade teacher, I can, if you dissect this sentence here, Ananias asks a question, "Now why tarriest thou?" The sentence doesn't end there. He answers his question in the same sentence. He says several things here. There's the word arise, which is an action, meaning get up. Don't just sit there, do something. Arise. And then there's a comma, which means there's something else here in this sentence he's supposed to do. And be baptized, okay? And then there's another comma, and that means that we're going to look at another thing that he's supposed to do, and wash away thy sins. Now, there's another comma, but we don't have any "and" here. We have comma, calling on the name of the Lord, okay? So what this tells us is that the clause, calling on the name of the Lord, modifies the statement, wash away thy sins. Wash away thy sins does not modify the statement and be baptized. It's a separate action. Ananias is challenging Paul to three actions. Arise is the first action. Don't just sit there. Do something, basically. The second action is to be baptized. And the third action is to wash away his sins. How? Calling on the name of the Lord, which again goes back to believe. And he that believeth not shall be damned, or, where the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because we believe and we call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see that believe all the time. And so what this is the sins are washed away, not by being baptized, but by believing. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you're calling on someone that you're believing in. And, that's the three actions there. He's heard the message from God. He's to get up and take action in regards to that. Now, in the Bible, we don't have things always laid out exactly the same order than our Western mindset that we would lay it out. You know, we like to have step one, step two, step three, step four. Sometimes they'll give you step three, then go back to step one, then go to step five, and then come back to step two, and they kind of bounce around a little bit. So there's three actions that Paul is being told. They're independent actions. One is to act on the information that he's been told. That's the arise. The other one is to be baptized, but we know from Scripture that we get baptized because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And I can give you a verse on that real quick, too, if you'd like.
All right.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And again, this is where we look at what he's saying. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And actually, I'm going to go back up to verse 37. Peter's preaching a tremendous message, and a result of this message, thousands of people accept Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior. And so he's coming to the main focus of his message, presenting Christ as the Messiah and their Savior that they're to follow. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them," this is verse 38. Now, watch what Peter says. He says, repent and be baptized, there's a comma, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he says, comma, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people would point to this and say, well, wait a minute. It says right there, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So you get baptized in order to receive the remission of sins. Isn't that what it says? Well, not necessarily. When you think about it this way, when I was a kid, I remember the post office always had the FBI's Most Wanted. And, you know, inside the post office, you could thumb through it and you'd see, here's some guy wanted for bank robbery. Here's some guy wanted for murder. Here's some guy wanted for armed robbery. Here's somebody wanted for, you know, this and somebody wanted for that. Well, they weren't employment ads, right?
Right.
Yeah, they were wanted because they already did those things. That'd be like watching an old Western, you know, like Jesse James wanted for train robbery. Well, they weren't wanting to hire Jesse James to rob trains. They were wanting him because he already robbed the train. And
exactly.
Yeah, and so that's what we see when we put this in the context here. The repentance, they had to turn from what they thought was good and correct and the way that seemed right to them but was leading to damnation. They had to turn and accept Christ. So that's the repentance, turning from their way and accepting Jesus Christ, God's way of salvation. And then another action, being baptized. Why were they being baptized? Well, because they received the remission of sins, and that's what baptism shows. Baptism illustrates our identification with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And see, that's why when you follow what the Bible teaches, the word baptism means to immerse and then immerse, and that's good because immersion is good, but there's also immersion. And that pictures Jesus dying, being buried, and emerging from the grave, the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know, sprinkling was added later on. I mean, even the Roman Catholic Church, which champions sprinkling, immersed people initially. It was several centuries after their beginning in the 4th century that they switched over to sprinkling and things like that. You know, how many people, when they die, you know, you bury them. So you stick the casket in the ground and you throw a shovel full of dirt on it, and that's it. You leave it that way the rest of the time. No, it gets completely covered. And so baptism, the literal Greek word, means to immerse under the water and to completely submerge and to bring up out of the water. And that's what we do. If it was sprinkling, it would have been like, I think it's rantizo or something like that, and it would have been a different word. But we do that not in order to get saved, but because we've been saved. Just like they wanted Jesse James, because he had already robbed the train. That's why they wanted him, for train robbery. And just like when I was a kid and I'd go into the post office and they'd have some guy wanted for armed robbery, they wanted him not to go out and rob people, but because he already did. And so we repent. We turn from our way. We accept Christ in his way. And that's when we get saved. That's when we believe. And then as a result of that, we get baptized because of the remission of sins. And the other thing that we get is the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God takes up residence in us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so all of that comes at the time of salvation. We repent. We put our faith in Christ rather than our way. And we trust Christ as our Savior. Our sins have been remitted or forgiven, paid for. And so we receive the Holy Spirit. And because our sins are paid for, we get baptized to publicly show what took place when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We're identifying in a figurative fashion, very symbolically, with Jesus dying on the cross, bearing our sins, and then being buried, and then in identifying with the resurrection of Christ. And when I baptize somebody, that's what I say. I lower them under the water. I say, buried in the likeness of his his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, I bring him up out of the water. And, you know, so we picture that very symbolically. So I think when you put these verses together and you look at the context of other things, it's very clear it's the believing the gospel message and acting on it, you know, when we believe it, that gets us saved. And then if we do that by an act of obedience and public testimony, we get baptized, picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the immersion and emersion from the water, and raised in the newness of life, you know. And that's what we believe happened when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We were submerged with Christ, you know, in his death, and raised unto newness of life with his resurrection, and we give a picture of that through that. So, we think about it, what makes more sense, you know, to do something to picture what we've received, you know, what's happened in our belief, rather than, you know, the other way around, doing it in order to get saved. So,
so that's just part of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, so we can receive the shadow of the Almighty.
Right, right. And as he moves upon our heart and in our life, you know, we become more like him, and we learn more about him. And over time, we progressively turn ourselves more and more over to him, and he starts working out the rough areas in our life and improving us. And we become what he wants us to be for his glory and for our benefit. And it's kind of an interesting thing when you start to look at it from that standpoint. So hopefully that helps you out there tonight, Mark.
Oh, well, I was looking for a cop-out, and I'm still not. But yeah, it did help me. And I appreciate it. Love your show.
Well, thank you.
The Lord asked me to call this evening.
Well, I appreciate it. And that's a good subject, and that's something to bring up every once in a while. It's been a little while, I think, since we spent a detailed time on the question of baptism. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And it's really kind of refreshing to get some of these more theological questions rather than some of the political stuff we've been dealing with the past couple of months as much. And I enjoy talking about the political things, but it sure is good to get back into more of these things as well, too. So. All right, appreciate you listening.
So when we were told, go ye into the world and preach
the gospel,
and
right? And then when people get saved, we baptize them. What's that?
Can I baptize my sinner brother?
Well, I believe baptism is an ordinance that's given to the local church, and so the local church, through the pastor and all of the local church, delegate people within the local church setting to baptize people. Generally, the pastor, associate pastor, sometimes deacons and things like that. Sometimes, and again, it's the local church's decision who they want to delegate that responsibility to. And I would seek the advice and guidance through your local church on that.
All right. So, well, I sure do. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Mark, you have a great what's left of the evening here tonight, and a great week, I hope, and stay warm down there in Tampa. I'll try not to be too envious here as I look at the snow outside the studio.
But, well, just hurry up and get on that bus.
There we go. I think I'll try the airplane if they haven't canceled the flights. All right. God bless. Thank you so much. Bye. And I appreciate all of you listening tonight, and again, check us out online. Pray for us. I know we only got a few moments left in the program, but pray for us. We're coming up with our Florida contract in late January, early February, somewhere right there. And so pray for us. God will provide the funds that we can continue on in Florida, and God's taking care of it here in the Cleveland station. So God bless. Thanks for listening, and have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield. Ridgefield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Ridgefield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.